Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 5. We're going to share together, beginning with verse number 1. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One was there, had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, here's a man for 38 years, unable to walk. He's a burden to others and probably has little or no self-worth. Let's look this morning at what Jesus did to motivate this man to become a candidate to be healed. You know, I believe that the same is true for us today, that there are certain things that we can do to position ourselves in the place to where Jesus' healing power can be experienced in our lives. Now, when we look around on Sunday morning, you're a good-looking group. When we look around and we see nice people, we see smiling faces, we see people that are dressed nicely, we see really people that have it all together. But what if we actually looked a little bit below the surface? What would we truly see? I believe that what would we see would be some people that are hurting. Some people that are in need of peace. Some people who need healing. Everybody looks so happy. And we just assume that everything is okay. But maybe, just maybe, we need to look a little closer and realize that in these chairs, there are some people that are hurting. Over here is a family with an income of $550 a week and an outgo of $1,000. Over here, a family that struggles to relate. A husband and wife quarreled this very morning, perhaps, both contemplating divorce. Again, a family where the children may not feel loved. Last Monday, man just learned he was being laid off. Maybe there's a precious woman here trying to hide the bruises, hide the shame. Of course, there are those of us then that have lesser hurts. But they're no small thing to us. A boring job, no sense of purpose, a broken relationship, a friend or spouse that's cold and indifferent. The stories go on and on. The lonely, the discouraged, the exhausted. Gosh, we're all here. Here we are. Now, before you get too depressed, I'll just start running out screaming. Understand this, there's good news. And we are people of good news. We're people of the Word. There's good news for the hurting that are among us this morning. The good news is found in Matthew 11, 28 and 30. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls," and I add to that, healing for your hurts. Now, this is not to say that God will instantaneously resolve all our problems. In this world, we will have trouble. It may be that He gives us grace. He grants us courage to face them and to cling to Him in the midst of them. The healing of this man at the pool of Bethesda is a dramatic example of someone hurting. It's a wonderful example for us of how we might approach our Heavenly Father with our hurts, our discouragements, our despairs. How we might approach Him and seek His healing. Jesus sees the man, understands the situation, has compassion upon him. You know, this is one of the few times in Scripture when Jesus heals somebody that he was not asked to heal. Jesus took the initiative here. Isn't that wonderful? When Jesus sees the hurting, when he sees the lame, the discouraged, On occasions, he takes the initiative to reach out. Jesus comes to this man and he says to him that, ask a very peculiar question. He says, "Do you want to be healed?" Sounds awful or awkward or really, do I want to be healed? It's like asking someone hungry, "Do you want some food?" But Jesus knew exactly what was going on. Let me share with you a personal story, if you'll allow me. One that I'm not proud of. That maybe can help you understand this point of being ready to be healed or desiring to be healed. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. And my mother had moved from New York to Atlanta and met my father, and they had fallen in love and were married and had a son, and 5 years after the birth of the son, the marriage fell apart. And so they did as many do, they made the decision to divorce. Well, that left a big question. What's going to happen to this kid? Well, I learned later as I became older through family members that what had transpired was that my mother was unable to care for me. That she had no family here, very low-paying job, and was going to be extremely difficult for her to be a single mother. And so what she did was arrange a divorce settlement that gave my father custody of me and her a lump sum of money. Now, you don't have to pity me. I'm not asking for that, because God is good. Amen. And the story has a happy ending. But I lived with that. That hurt. You know, I wonder how many of you, your mother sold you when you were five. And I took that hurt on. And I lived with it. It was painful. And the older I got, the more it seemed to pain me. The more I understood of family and love, and the more it hurt. But you know, something happened in the midst of that, that again, I'm not at all proud of, and it was sinful. But I began to hold on to that hurt because it gave me an advantage over her in our relationship. We continued to see each other, visitation. She was doing her best. She remarried, was doing her best to be my mother, even though she didn't have custody of me. But I wouldn't let go of that hurt. And I punished her. She felt terrible. She felt so guilty for what she had done. And I made sure she never forgot it. I didn't want to be healed. I didn't want to give it up. I used it sinfully. I used it to manipulate her. It wasn't until I was in my mid-30s on a walk to Emmaus weekend that I gave that hurt to God. And God gave me, in return for that hurt, He gave me a desire to forgive her and to make peace with her and to release her from that burden. Now, I'm happy to say that my mother, who passed away 9 years ago, and before her death, she received Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she was able to receive His forgiveness and to forgive herself. In the hours before she died, I was with her at her bedside. And she said, "Do you really forgive me?" And I said, "Oh, Mom, years ago, that's over. I love you." And released her into the arms of her Heavenly Father. And she went in peace. I had peace. But you see, I had to come to the place where God worked in my life that I wanted to be healed. So I ask you this morning a very pointed question. One is your pastor that loves you. Is there some hurt in your life, some unforgiveness that you're determined to hold on to? Or in the words of Jesus to the man at the pool of Bethesda, do you want to be healed? You know, a lot of times I said, "I can't forgive my mother. I can't forgive her." What I should have been saying is, "I won't forgive her." Jesus asked the man if he wanted to be healed. He was saying to him, "Are you ready for a new reality?" your life is fixing to drastically change. Your relationships are going to change. Are you ready? Do you really want to be well? Do we really want to forgive? Do we really want to be healthy emotionally and spiritually? We need to determine in the depths of our heart, down there where the truth is, do we really want to be healed? Because if we do, if we desire it, God will heal us. He will bring newness to our lives. Now, the second thing that this story teaches us, and I want to move quickly through this, it teaches us that we need to stop blaming others for our problems, for our hurts. Where did this man blame others? He said, I can't get into the water. I can't make it in. Somebody always beats me into the water. See, the literature tells us that there at that pool, some versions say that an angel would come and stir the water. And when the water was stirred, first one in got healed. Can you imagine what that would be like? And so this man says that I can never be the first one in because others come and push me out of the way and they jump in and they get my healing. And so he starts blaming others. Now what actually happened, whether it was an underground spring or whatever, we don't know. But we do know that they believe that when the water moved, first one in got the healing. I have no one to help me into the pool, he said, when the water stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. He was complaining. He was blaming others. And he had done it for how long? 38 years. Goodness. 38 years he had come to that place. For 38 years he had made excuses, blamed others for his problem. You know, we do that. It goes all the way back to Adam, doesn't it? When God asked Adam why he disobeyed, he said, it's her. It's her. But you know, it says in Romans 14:12, and hear this, saints. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Heredity and environment play a part in influencing us and shaping us, but we can rise above it if we want to. We got to stop blaming others for our problems. Our Heavenly Father will heal us if we will allow Him. Maybe we need to say with the old spiritual, you all heard this, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, this man also, he had to want to be healed. He had to stop blaming others, but he had to put forth an effort. Jesus said, get up. Get up, take up your mat. Do something. And the minute he did, he was healed. You know, Jesus frequently required effort on the part of the people he healed. Not always, but often he required a response of faith before he would heal. He said to the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priest. When they did, they were healed. He said to the man with the withered hand, what did he say? Stretch forth your hand. And when he did, he was healed. To the man, he put clay, mud on his eyes. He said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. When he washed, he was healed. Jesus said to this man, pick up your mat and walk. What's he saying to you this morning? You want to be healed. I'm not going to blame others. And I'm going to ask. I'm going to seek. I'm going to knock. That might be all that your Heavenly Father is asking you to do. Is just ask Him. Just seek it. Be willing. Ask Him for His healing. Now, the last thing we learn from this story is that this man gave credit to Jesus. Verse 9 through 13 tells us that the day on which this took place was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man, "It's the Sabbath. Law forbids you to carry your mat." And he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat.'" You know, there may be others in your world that tell you you can't be healed. There may be others that will point you in the wrong direction. But I want you to hear this morning that the healer is real, and the healer's name is Jesus. Jesus comes back. He reveals Himself to this man. See, He wanted him to be more than health, have a healthy body. He wanted him to be healthy spiritually as well. And Jesus finds him at the temple and says, "See, you're well again. Now stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." He wanted the healing to be complete. The man goes away and he tells the Jews that it's Jesus that made him well. Let me bring this to a close. In Max Lucado's book, He Still Moves Stones, he asks a question concerning this story and similar stories in the Gospels. He said, "Tell me why these stories are in the Bible. These stories of Jesus healing the sick, these stories of restoration. Why are these stories of hope and promise given to us? Why do the Holy Spirit consider it important for us to know these things that happened thousands of years ago? Why are the Gospels full of these stories? Why do we learn that there were hopeless people and helpless people? People that were trapped, nowhere to turn. People that uttered a desperate prayer. And this man from Galilee came. He stepped into their lives. And in the power of the Heavenly Father, healed their hearts, healed their bodies, and healed their minds." We look around this morning. We've got to know that in a gathering this size, there are some hurting people. Perhaps you're one of them. We have these stories and recorded in Scripture to encourage us. We have these stories of healing recorded in this precious Word of God that say to us, He is alive. The same God that healed in this book is here this morning. You might just think right now, I believe that the water is being stirred. But we don't have to fight to get in it. It's the last thing we need to do as the Holy Spirit stirs this environment, this place. All we have to do is surrender. Father, heal my hurts. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be healed. The God who forgave still forgives. The God who came is still here. The God who moved the stone continues to move stones. The blood-stained hands of Jesus reach out to you and to me. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. There's healing power in the name of Jesus. God, I invite you just to close your eyes. I want you to know that the water is stirring this morning. That the Spirit of a living, healing, loving God is here to heal your hurts. Are you willing to be healed? To give up that offense? To forgive and be forgiven? I'm praying that right now, God is healing hearts in this place. Hurts that you perhaps have hung on to for years. Maybe in foolishness, like I was foolish. And right now, the restoration of the Lord is embracing your life. Come, Holy Spirit. Won't you just open your heart to Him now? If that's your desire, do you want to be made whole? Heavenly Father, healer of all hurts, we yield ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you. Man, I'm telling you might have some hurts from even far back as childhood. He'll heal them this morning. Maybe it was a bad marriage. Maybe it was a bad decision somewhere in the past. And you've lived with it for way too long. Be healed this morning. Be healed. Father, come and heal my heart. Heal the hurts in my life. Doesn't matter what mistake you've made. Can't blame others forever. Just be healed in the name of Jesus. Precious holy name of Jesus. Now may you be sanctified holy, body, soul, and spirit, that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, you'll be found blameless in His sight. God bless you. Have a great week.